Happy Father's Day. I want us to congratulate the fathers that are here with us. Let us congratulate them. Let us shake them. Let us shake them around. Shake a father. Shake a father this morning and be blessed. Shake a father here this morning and be blessed, brethren. Shake a father here this morning and be blessed. Shake one father that is here this morning and be blessed. Shake one father that the Almighty God has preserved their life this morning and receive your blessing. Receive your blessing. Tap the blessing of the Father this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because of this good thing you have done. Father, we are glad. We are glad. We are glad. We are glad because of these fathers. Lord, we worship your name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Brethren, it is a good thing to be in the presence of God. And we praise the Lord. That is now getting beyond, it's passing, it's going past the time we allotted for it. We will continue that after the service. After the service, we can, maybe some of the fathers, I don't know if some fathers have arrangement to take us somewhere. We will discuss that after the service. After the service. Anyway, praise the Lord. This is another Father's Day, and the Almighty God has been so faithful to us, fathers in the house. It's another time for us to celebrate the grace of God in our lives. It's another time to celebrate the hands of God on our lives and on our families. And now the Lord has helped us thus far. Brethren, it has been for the Lord. The Bible says if it has not been for the Lord on our side, just like our women's leader was leading the prayer the other time, and she said some fathers decided to quit because it was too, the load was too heavy, and they decided to quit. And I pray that the Lord Almighty will carry the load for us in Jesus' name. Amen. We will not quit. We will not quit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to enter into your word. The Bible says the entrance into your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Almighty God, we pray that this morning that your Holy Spirit will teach us. And Lord, that your word will illuminate and ventilate our hearts in Jesus' name. Ancient of days, we pray that the word will mix with faith in our hearts. And Lord, that the power, the grace to do will be released upon our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we celebrate the Father's Day today, we pray, Lord, that this will not be the end of it. Even as Christ tarries, if Christ tarries, Lord, that we will live to see many, many more years, and we will live to see many, many more celebrations. Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We have greetings to us from our Father in the Lord, Pastor Kalawansin. He's our Father in the house. He's in far away United Kingdoms. The wedding of our daughter went well. It went very, very wonderful. They have testimonies. Let us praise the Lord for that. It went very, very gloriously. And this morning in the UK, they will have done the Thanksgiving. The wedding was done on Thursday. So, and everything went fine. And I believe that they are coming with those mighty testimonies in Jesus' name. In the course of the program today, by the time we start the Father's Day activities proper, we'll be able to hear him also speak and bless us live from the UK. This morning, I just want us to consider some things from the Word of God. Word and sound, do I have this time? Is the time for me? Okay. Praise the Lord. I'll be reading from the script, from the book of John. The book of John, chapter 2. First John, chapter 2. Praise the Lord. First John chapter 2 from verse 12. I'll read verses 12 to 14. First John chapter 2. I'll read verses 12 to 14. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because he have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14. And I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I pray that the Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. I've put a title for this message, and the title is, We Have a Role to Play. We have a role to play. We have a role to play. I believe that all of us have a role to play. This is one of the scriptures we will find where the Bible is talking to people at different age categories, both physically and spiritually, addressing people in different categories. It's one of the few passages of the scriptures where we will find that. And this is this has a significance and has a relevance, and especially for our gathering this morning. This is a message to the church. This is a message for the little children, the message for the young men, and the message for the fathers. The Bible says, I write to you, little children. There is something that God always writes to us. There's a message that God always has for us. There's a message that God always has, and God has a message for us at different levels. He has a message for us when we start to walk with him. He has a message for us when we go to a particular level of walking with him. And by the time we move on to another level, he has another message for us. And that's one of the things we can find in this place. And we discover that the messages are different. The message that God has for you as a child is different from the message he has for you when you become a young man. And it's different from the message he has for you when you become fathers. And that applies to both physical and, you know, and spiritual age categories. Even as, you know, children, we'll see in the scriptures that the Bible talks about children. The Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. The Bible talks about children. The Bible says children, obey your fathers in the Lord. So physically, the Bible addresses, you know, age categories. And spiritually as well, the Bible addresses age categories. But in this place, the word of God is addressing us spiritually this morning. Because the Bible says that God is writing to us as little children because our sins are forgiven. And that means that it is possible for us, because spiritually, it does not matter how old the person is. When the Bible says little children, and here it's saying that your sins are forgiven, it does not mean that the sins of those who are, you know, physically so many decades old, doesn't mean that their sins cannot be forgiven. And that's why this place is actually referring to us spiritually. That we can still be a child, no matter how old we are, we can still be a child. No matter the number of days we have spent on earth, we can still remain a babe. But here the Lord is telling us that our sins are forgiven. That the sins of children are forgiven. And somebody who remains a child is a person whose sins will always be forgiven. Is a person who is allowed to be at the stage that they are still asking for forgiveness of sins. Because God expects that from a child. God expects that from somebody who is just starting in the faith. To come to him and say, I am a sinner, please forgive my sins. And God allows this. It's expected that if somebody is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, I heard of, you know, an account of somebody who was just going to die in his 90s. And that was when he gave his life to Christ. That was the time that he became a babe. That was the time that he was a little child. It was the kind of child that the Bible was talking to here, that his sins are forgiven. And so this morning, it does not matter whether we have been there for long. It does not even matter whether we have been Christians for so many years. We can still be a babe, because we are still at the stage where our sins are still very present with us, and we need our sins to be forgiven. It does not mean that the person who has spent so many years in the faith and who has even given their lives to God will not have or cannot commit a sin. But the Bible is saying here that sin is the nature of little babes in Christ. It's the nature of somebody who is just starting. And so when we are at this stage at which we are still struggling with sin, then it means that we are still at the stage of being babes. If we are at the stage of saying, oh, I've done it again, then we have returned back to be a babe. If we are at the stage that we still need somebody to remind us that this is the will of God, or this is what God wants, this is what God does not want, this is what is wrong, this is what is right, this is sin and this is not sin, then we still are at the stage of being babes. And this morning, my prayer is that as God is writing to us this morning that he has forgiven our sins, that our sins will indeed be forgiven in Jesus' name. And that even as he's forgiving our sins this morning, that we will all quit sin. Brethren, it is one thing for us when we talk about repentance. Repentance is a turnaround. It's a changing of direction. It's not a situation where you are still facing the same direction. It's a situation where you take a U-turn and you take another direction. And that's what repentance is. So that if we have truly repented of our sins and we ask God for the grace not to go back there, because he said he has forgiven our sins, then that grace of God will rest upon us, and the power to be able to live above sin will be released into our lives. I pray that that will happen to somebody this morning in Jesus' name. Brethren, there is something that the Bible calls besetting sins. Sins that are always there, Sins that you take a step out and then your step is returned back into that same thing. That is one sin that you particularly need deliverance from. And I pray this morning that if there be anybody, because it does not matter how long you have been in the faith, besetting sins can be so intimate to us that we struggle with it on a daily basis. But we pray this morning that if there be anyone who is still at that stage, that the Almighty God, the power of God that rose Jesus from the dead, is going to break that power of sin over that life in Jesus' name. Brethren, the Bible says that let us leave the elementary teachings of God and let us go on to maturity. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. It says, now it is time for us to leave the elementary teachings of God. Because I don't want to dwell so much here today. I want us to talk a little more about fathers, about the stage of fatherhood spiritually, because today is the Father's Day. But the Bible says, let us leave the elementary teachings of God in Hebrews 6:1, and let us go on to perfection. Because the Bible recognizes that there will come a time that we will still be at the elementary teachings, the time that we will still need to be fed milk. The Bible says that milk, that he that is unskillful in the world, that person is still a babe. So there is still a time that we will be babes in Christ. We'll be children in Christ. But he says, let us not stay there. Let us not stay at the stage where we need somebody to always pull us out. We need somebody to always pray for us. We need somebody to always explain the scripture to us. We need somebody to always return us back to the right path. That is still the stage of babes. The Bible says, leave that stage and go on to perfection. Not laying again. Let's read that place. Hebrews 6:1. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Because the person who is at that stage will need to be reminded every time. 6:1. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Because that person will still need to be reminded about repentance. Please repent. Please repent. Please repent. Brethren, we should not dwell there for so long. The world in which we live does not allow us to dwell at this stage for too long. The challenges of our contemporary age, the challenges of the system in which we have found ourselves, these challenges do not allow us to remain at this stage forever. Because the challenges are always pressing. They are pressing on. They are not allowing you, they don't give you enough time. They don't say, okay, take the rest of the next 10 years to begin to grow your faith. No, they will not do that. That's why the Bible wants us to move on. Move on to perfection. And in the book, in that book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, he moved on and started talking about young men. And he said that the young men, he reminded young men about their strength. My question to young men today is that, are we really strong? Are we really strong, young men? The Bible says we are strong. The Bible talks about the strength. It says strength is the glory of the youth. Are we really strong, young men? Are we strong? And if we are strong, what are we doing with our strength? How have we diverted our energy? How have we traded with the time, with the resources that God has given to us? Look at some of the old men. Sometimes I just appreciate God and I thank God for their lives. Look at some of the old men in their 60s and 70s and 80s. Some of them are gathering with us here. It tells us how they have spent the stage that God is talking about. They will not be here if they have not spent their time the way God wanted it. They will not have been here with us. They will not have been gathering at the feet of Christ with us like this. Because the challenges of that stage is a stage of battle. It's a stage at which you must define, you must clearly state and resolve within your mind where you want to go, who you want to be, what you want to do with your life, what you want to do with God, your God-given potentials. Young men, young women, what are we doing with the strength that God has given to us? Bible says strength is our glory. Because there is potential. There is a great potential. Your strength is the seed that God has given to you. How are you trading it? How are you trading it? How are you feeding? How are you feeding your mind? What are you feeding into your mind? What are you spending your time upon? How much have you given to God? How much of the time you have you given to God? How much of the time you have you used to explore the potentials that God has deposited in you, the talents that God has deposited in you? How much time have you spent to develop it? Look at the time that you spend. Look at how our youth, the very close one to us is the one that happened in South Carolina. You know, that guy used his strength in the other direction. He used his strength. I don't know how many of us read what this guy went through, the kind of expressions, writings that this guy, made. You know that this guy is talented, but the devil hijacked it because his hands were idle, because his hands were not occupied by the things of God. And that's why we cannot say it enough, that as young men, we need that our hands be occupied by the things of God. Brethren, there cannot be an empty, a fallow hand. That hand has to be occupied. The devil will not allow the hand to be idle. He's going to fill it with something. The devil will not allow the mind to be empty. He's going to fill it with something. When you are searching the internet, what do you search for, brethren? Young men, young women, college fellows, what do you look for when you search the internet? I want us to ask ourselves, What will they bring out of us? The things that you look for on the internet. What will they bring out of you? What will they make of you tomorrow? The things that you look up on the internet. The things that you read in the books. What will they make out of you? The way you the interpretation you give to the news you listen to. What will it make out of you? The kind of friends you keep. What will it make of your tomorrow? The way you are diverting your potentials. What will it make of your tomorrow? What is it building for your tomorrow? What kind of foundations are we laying? What kind of foundations? What kind of foundations are you laying? The Bible says that strength is your glory. Brethren, there is going to come a time. The Bible says, remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth, when the evil days come not. These evil days are not necessarily the days of calamity. These evil days can be days that, you know, those things that you wish you had done, you begin to remember them. But the time is now for you to do those things. I remember a friend of mine went to a church with his dad and got to the church. The dad used to attend one of those Orthodox churches. And then they went to a Pentecostal church. And when they got there, my friend, you know, and a lot of people, they were jumping up and down, you know, the way we do here. And it's a practice. But the dad was surprised. He said, wow, these guys are jumping. And he couldn't do as much as they were doing because the strength was no longer there. Even if he wished he could have done it, he would not be able to do it because the strength was gone. And that's the kind of evil day I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the evil day when calamities will happen. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But as young men, there is going to come a time. Now we say we don't have time. Oh, I'm busy and this and that. There is going to come a time that you will be busy. There is going to come a time that's what they call busy. You can talk to some of the elderly ones among us. They will tell you what it means to be busy. There is going to come a time that you will actually be busy. The time that you think you don't have now, that time, you will now realize that you had so much time. That you have so much time. So my message of what God wants me to impress on us this morning as young men, young women, college youths this morning, is that you still have the strength. And you still have a lot of time to redeem. The Bible says redeem the time. You still have a lot of time to redeem. You still have a lot of opportunities in your hand to use. Some people don't have so many opportunities that you have again. But you still have a lot. You still have a lot of opportunities to utilize. Why don't you begin to utilize it in the right way? Why don't you begin to utilize it? Why don't you commit it to God and let God use it on your behalf? I pray that you will be obedient to that in Jesus' name. Now today we thank God for our fathers. We thank God for our fathers. In that book of 1 John chapter 2, that's our text for the day. 1 John chapter 2, I want to show us something in that place. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 13. The Bible says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And in verse 14, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Brethren, God is saying the same thing two times to fathers. He's saying the same thing two times to fathers in the two scriptures. Verse 14 says, he has previously written to us. God has previously told us. And when I read this scripture, I'm like, this is probably an assumption. He says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him from the beginning. It is probably an assumption that we have known him that is from the beginning. It's probably an assumption. It's probably what God has, or maybe an expectation that God has for us as fathers. That God has for us as fathers, spiritually speaking, and fathers even physically speaking. An assumption that we should have known him. An assumption that because he had written to us previously, then we should have known him. So it's probably an assumption or an expectation that God has for us. And he's asking again, he's writing again in verse 13. He says, I write to you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And because I have written unto you before. Brethren, this morning, fathers, do we really know him? Have we known him? Because he says, because you have known him. Have we known him? Have we known him? Have we had an encounter with him? Is it not appropriate that he writes unto us again? Maybe the third time. Because he's writing the second time. He says, I'm writing again because I've written. Is it not appropriate for him to write again or to remind us, just like I'm bringing it to our attention today, that we need to know him? Fathers, we need to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord. We need to have an encounter with him. It does not matter whether we were born as a Christian. It does not matter whether we have been there for so many years. It does not matter how many days we have spent in church. What matters is, do we know Him? Can we say something about God? And what can we say about God? Have we had an encounter? Do we have a personal relationship with Him? Can we call Him my God? Can we say that He talked to me? Can we say that I told God, and God has told me this? Because this is knowledge. The person you know is a person that you can say something about. The person you know is something who can say something about you. It's somebody that you communicate. Do we communicate with Him at all? Do we communicate with God? Do we communicate? Do we talk to Him? Is God not saying the truth today? That the sins of the fathers are those things that are responsible for what is going on around us. Is God not saying the truth? Is the word of God not saying the truth? That because the fathers have not known Him enough, or we have not known Him at all, and we have not, or we have known Him, and we have not delivered Him to the next generation, we have not done our responsibility, we have not played our role. Is it not why this generation is what it is now? Or is it not why tomorrow does not hold so much promise until we rise up to our role this morning? Fathers, I want to employ us this morning that it is time for us to rise up to our responsibilities. I know that, you know, our Father in the Lord has said it so many times here, that it looks like we have so many women in this place. And that it may be like that in heaven. We don't know. But the onus is on us, for those of us who have taken time to come to the presence of God, for men who have taken time to come, let us really be there. Let us really be there in the presence of God. Let us really hold on to the faith that we profess. Let us really have something to deliver to the next generation. Let us really be found to be professing that faith and to be living it out. Let us be living it out on a daily basis. Let it be part and parcel of our lives. Let it be part and parcel of who we are, what we do, what people can say about us, what they can see in us. Let it be part of what comes out of us. What is the issue that comes out of us? Let it be that. Let the faith that we profess, let it be that. Let the God that we believe in, let him be seen in our lives. Let it be seen in our lives. Brethren, it is not when the Bible talks about Moses. The Bible says when the children of Israel, you remember when they were going through the wilderness experience, the children of Israel were always complaining and complaining and complaining because they knew little about God. They were just seeing so many things, so many acts of God. They did not have an intimate relationship with Him. And so they understand the knowledge was not as much as that of Moses. The Bible says that unto Moses, God showed His ways, but the acts of God to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel will see that God was parting the Red Sea. But Moses knew that this was God in action, and Moses understood why God was doing what He was doing. Moses had a deeper understanding of what God was doing because he knew the ways of God. And so as fathers, we need to know the ways of God. And that is what will make us not to grumble, not to murmur. When children are murmuring, when little ones are murmuring, little ones spiritually are murmuring, elders, I'm also talking this morning, I believe, to elders in the faith. Elders in the faith, those of us, I know so many of us, we may not be here, we may not be holding the microphone. So many of us also, we are matured in the faith. So many of us have spiritual children. They are looking up to us. What are we presenting to them? Have we walked enough with God so that we do not murmur like the children of Israel murmur when the babes in Christ are murmuring? Do we have an understanding of the time, of what God is about to do, or what God is doing, or what God will do? Do we have an understanding of that? That comes out of an intimate relationship with God. It comes out of spending time in the presence of God. In the book of Ezra, if the word and sound can get some of these things to on the screen for us. Ezra 3:10-12. Ezra 3:10-12. The Bible says that when they were laying the foundation, 10-12. Ezra 3. When they were laying the foundation of the temple. Do you have verse 10? Yeah. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercies endure forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Let's go on. That's it. So the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted. Let's stop there. So the Bible says that the young ones were shouting for joy. We were shouting out of excitement. But the fathers and the ancient men, those who have worked with God, those who know the way of God, those who understand the purpose, the covenant of God, those who know, you know, when they say, you know, in where most of us came from in Africa, they say when a child is cutting the tree, is the old people that know where the tree is going to fall. That's the kind of thing that happened. The people who know where the tree is going to fall, those who have worked with God for so long, who can say this is the move of God, they wept because they knew that this is small compared to what God proposed, compared to the covenant of God. But this came out of a knowledge of God and having worked with God for some time. Fathers in the house, we need to get closer to God. There are things that the next generation will be asking. There are questions they will be asking us. Did God tell our fathers? And there are things that we know. There are things, it's just like a father, physically speaking. A father knows a lot about the children. And so when they laugh, you know, they laugh out of knowledge, based on the knowledge and the understanding they have concerning their children. When the child says something and, you know, they smile, the smile is out of an abundance of knowledge about the things they know, you know, about the child. But spiritually, it has to be so. We need to be the custodian of what God wants to deliver to the next generation. We need to be the custodian because God is going to hold us responsible of what becomes of the next generation. What are we going to deliver? The guy that went to start killing the church was given the money by his father. The father delivered the money to him to buy the gun, or maybe the father actually bought the gun or has advised him to buy the gun. That is going to go down into history. But as Christians, God is expecting us to deliver something to the next generation. The Bible says that when the Son of Man will come, will he find faith on earth? Fathers, is God going to find faith on earth? If he finds faith on earth, is it going to be credited to your account? Is it going to be credited to my account? The fact that when Jesus comes, he will find faith on earth. Is it going to be because you handed it over or another person handed it over? Are your footprints going to be seen in the sands of time that you have walked this path and you have walked with God? Our footprints, are they going to tell the tales of how we walked with God and the things that we are delivering to the next generation? Fathers, I'm reminding us this morning that God is counting on us. That God is counting on us. That the fate of the next generation is resting so much on our hands. That what becomes the lot of the next generation is in your hands, is in my hands. And we need to rise up today. It is not enough for us to celebrate fathers and as fatherhood, but it is also important for us to produce a seed that will live on after us, a seed that will live on and tell that we have been here and we walk with God. The Bible talks about people in the scriptures who have been examples to us. In the book of Acts of Apostles, the Bible talks about Philip, the evangelist. It says that he had four daughters that did prophesy. Four daughters who did prophesy. And when I remember that, it brings to my mind the fact that this is not about gender. This is about the next generation. This is about the next generation. God is counting on the next generation, and it is because God knows that there is so much that we can do to be able to help the next generation. He's counting on the men, on the women that will rise up in the next generation. He's counting on the youth, the girls and the boys. He's counting on them. God is no respecter. The Bible says that four daughters of that evangelist, they prophesied. It's not about whether they were girls, they were men or women. It's about the fact that their father did something. Their fathers must have led them in the way of the Lord. And it does not depend on whether you are a man of God or a woman of God. We have so many accounts in the scriptures where even men of God, the children were wayward. The Bible talks about the men, we remember the sons of Eli, who were there hitting the best part of the sacrifices that the people were bringing before the Lord. Those were sons of Eli. So it does not matter. Let us not assume that because I am a Christian, my children are Christians. We need to play an active role to do something specific, something positive, so that we will have a generation that will carry this thing on. We will have a generation that we can be able to say that they are out there doing exploit for the Lord. A generation that we can sleep at home. It was the father of this guy that one of the people that called the police to report or something like that. And I remember there was a time also in Nigeria where one of these boys that wanted to bomb Delta Airline. It was the father had gone to the embassy to report him before what his son was up to. You see, so we want to be at home and sleep and be at peace that our children are there. They are doing well. They are doing good. And that means that we need to be where God wants us to be. So what should we do? What should be our roles this morning? I mean, before the time runs out on me. The first thing we need to do is that we need to pray. God expects us to pray for the next generation. Paul said, "My children, of whom I travail until Christ is formed in you." We need to pray for the next generation. We need to pray for our children. That means that we have already settled ourselves with God. God is settled with us. We are walking with him. He knows us. We know him. And now we are talking about our responsibility to the next generation. He says, "Of my children of whom I travail until Christ be formed in you." We need to travail in prayers for the next generation. We need to travail in prayers. There is one thing we cannot rule out. We cannot rule out the fact that we are in the end times. And the Bible says perilous times shall come. There is no prayer that saints will pray that will stop the perilous time from happening. Because there is no prayer that will change what is written in the scripture. So perilous time will definitely come. But we will not be part of the perilous time in Jesus' name. We will not be partakers of the evils of the perilous times in Jesus' name. We will not have a hand in it. Our children will not have a hand in it. When the Bible talks about somebody who is going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible did not say that, okay, the person will be born by this person and that and that. But he decided, he appointed himself. Judas appointed himself to be the person. It was a self-nomination. He nominated himself to be that person. So the fact that the Bible talks about perilous time coming does not mean that it's going to happen to us. It doesn't mean that everybody will have a part in it. We must decide. We have a choice to make. And this morning we need to start by praying. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for the next generation. Pray. Pray that the Almighty God will take over the next generation. That the Almighty God will arrest them. Brethren, things like this can affect us indirectly, even if not directly. Can affect us indirectly. And so that is why we need to play an active role. The other thing we need to do is to show examples. We need to show examples. There are so many things that we cannot say with words of mouth. But our actions will linger. Our action will speak. The way we comport ourselves, the places we go, the things we do, will be like very indelible handwriting on the hearts of the next generation. Brethren, this morning, what do you do? Fathers, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we comport ourselves? What kind of epistles? Brother Paul said, we are epistles written and read of all men. What kind of epistles are our lives writing for the next generation, for the people that are with us, for the people that are looking at us? What kind of epistle are our lives writing? The other thing we need to do is to compare. We need to compel the next generation. There is that part of compelling that we need to play. That role of compelling them to do it. As many of them as are under our authority, spiritually and physically, God has given us the grace to be able to compel them. Just like fathers, mothers, parents, you can compel them. I'm going to church, all of you get into the car and you drive them there. Compel them. Even if their hearts are not good, their minds are not there, compel them. Compel them to be there. One day, God is going to take over their lives. One man was always going out anytime they made altar call to give, who wants to give their life? He goes out. Next Sunday, who wants to give their life? He goes out. The next one, he goes out. And somebody went to ask the man of God, why is he coming out every time? The man of God said, leave him. One day he will come out and he will not come again. Because he did not understand. And so he kept coming, and kept giving his life and taking it back. One day he gave it and gave it finally. So compel them. Compel them. Someday they are going to understand. They are going to grow into here. The kind of environment they will find themselves here, the spiritual environment is different. It's different from other places where they will go. And when the Spirit of God is moving around, the Spirit of God will settle on them. The Spirit of God will start to develop something in them. And so we can compel them. The other thing we can do is we can teach them. We can teach them. The Bible says that Ezra purposed in his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach in Israel statutes. He purposed to study the law of God, to do the law of God, and to teach it. We need to teach it. Teach it to them. Teach it to the next generation. At every opportunity, fathers, let us teach it to the next generation. God has placed this valuable generation in our hands. Let us teach them. Let us pass something across to them. Let us develop ourselves so much that we have something in our hands, in our lives, to be able to pass on. Because needless to say, is the fact that you cannot give out what you don't have. We cannot pass across what we have not handled. Let us develop ourselves so much that we have something to hand over to them. They are waiting on us. They are waiting on you. They are waiting on me. Whatever happens to them, God is going to ask us, fathers. I want us to rise up on our feet this morning.